Hey everybody, welcome to Workforce Gaming. I am Brad, here with Doug.
Hey.
God of War Ragnarok had a surprise DLC that is free for everyone called God of War Ragnarok Valhalla, which is a weird name, I think, if I know what those words mean correctly, but...
I mean, it's like the only place we haven't gone to in God of War, I think.
Yeah, it's like,
as
it's like
as
the
Norse
most...
mythology goes, yeah.
This is the Norse word we haven't used yet, so it's just... There you go. Anyway, you do go to Valhalla, so there's that. But we're going to talk about this with spoilers because the interesting piece of this... There's kind of two interesting pieces of this. Number one, it's a roguelike. Number two is the story stuff. And I don't think...
Yeah.
I want to kind of get into the story stuff a little bit. So we are going to get into some spoilers. It's free if you've played Ragnarok. It's... I think it took me maybe 4 hours, so it's short. It's free. If you want to know if you
go
do it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, exactly. No reason to not install it if you have Ragnarok. Like, absolutely. I think it's pretty good.
It's
pretty
very good. It's very good. I think, let's start with the gameplay first. So the gameplay is very, very much your roguelike type thing. You're going in, you're doing your stuff, you're doing more runs, which is a gameplay style that I hate more than any other gameplay out there. And I finished this thing. So if those things turn you off, I think this one, the way that it's handled, might actually work for you. And the thing that worked for me is that the runs and the way God of War combat works, I never felt like I was forcibly repeating anything because every one of my runs ended at a story moment. And then like, it was like Kratos accepting something and therefore needing to restart. It wasn't, I got so far and died. Okay. I did all that again. I got a little bit further. It was like, there was a clear reason why that run ended. And it kind of took away some of that nasty taste that I have for roguelikes.
Yeah, I mean, I think the game only anticipates you. I think the game kind of is designed for you to only go through like 4 or 5 times, maybe.
Yeah.
Like in total, like you die maybe 1 or 2 runs, but then the other ones are like story end ones. So yeah, I mean, it's weird that it's a roguelike. I mean, it's just, it's like, I like roguelike games. They're usually designed to play like 100 hours of them.
Yeah.
I'm glad this one wasn't one of those things. I'm glad that it didn't expect you to go through this like 50 times or whatever. But to me, it kind of feels like a roguelite seemed like a pretty good way to save some money. And I don't think it's necessarily true for like indie devs, because like I can see where like, you know, they kind of need the resources. Like, hey, we can only make like 5 levels or whatever. But in this one, it just felt like, you know, we could probably save it a lot of resources if we did a roguelite that was of his memories, because then we could just kind of bring in, you know, a lot of copy paste stuff. But I will say those expectations, I mean, that's still the case, but I was shocked at how much new stuff was in here.
Yeah. Well,
and the big, yeah.
And going with that, I mean, it's free. I think it'd be a different case if it was like a $20 piece. And I think that's where it's like, okay, maybe we save some money and we make this thing free for everybody so everybody gets to see this. Because I think this is, and we'll talk story in a second, but this is a critical piece to Kratos' story. Like, this is arguably one of the more important pieces of Kratos' story in my mind. And it's in this weird roguelike DLC. So I think part of it is, okay, if we make it for more on a budget, we can release it for free. There you go.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's fun as like a roguelite, but I am glad that it was like just kind of like, roguelite.
Yes, very light. I think I die. I had 2 runs restarted by death. I think the first one you have to die to get restart to like get you into like, oh, it's a roguelike.
Yeah.
And then there was one other one I died because I made some poor decisions. It was not a like, oh my gosh, I'm just stuck on this thing, which I liked. To get into the actual, well, the rest of the gameplay is just Ragnarok. No gameplay real major changes there. To get into the story of this, which I think is the kind of the meat of it, is it is Kratos examining his life. So basically you are invited to Valhalla by someone to face and learn about yourself and essentially decide, do you deserve to be a god still or not? And go through Valhalla looking back on all that you've done. Do you deserve this or not? Which is a really cool premise, I think, to kind of start this out, just because of how Kratos has changed from PS2 era God of War to PS5 era God of War. And we never really get that. We never really get that self-examination of like God of War 1 through 3 Kratos, giant dick. That is Kratos' personality completely. God of War and Ragnarok, sympathetic and like all these other characteristics, and we never really see that connection there, and I think that we did it here, which was really cool.
Yeah, I think it's really, really cool that I did that, but I think it's also kind of the, I think it's like a dangerous thing to go into, where it's like, if you just left it unspoken, then you can kind of make your own sort of thing. But now they spoke it. It's like, it is very weird when he's like reexamining stuff that happened in God of War 1, 2, and 3. Because in God of War 1, 2, and 3, like, they're edgy, try-hard games where you're just like, you are a bad guy. Like, that's very clear you're a bad guy. You complete, you do, it's like, you know, mass murders of many people in different ways. I really did like that they framed a large section of the game after the God of War 1 puzzle where you put a guy on fire.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, really slick. I really loved how they incorporated some of the other stuff. But I think that's kind of my big issue with this, because it is him kind of working through that part of his life in a way that somebody would.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the techniques and stuff he's using felt like quite literally therapy in some ways. And then also he was a mass murderer, not just like a guy who has anxiety about like things he did in high school.
Fair.
You know what
Fair.
I mean?
It's not like I was a dick in high school. It's like, no, I literally murdered thousands of people and blotted out the sun and killed the guy. Yeah, he did some things.
Yeah. And then when he brings up those points, like Tyr is like, you know, but really, did you have an option in that moment? I was like, I mean, all right. I mean, you know what I mean?
But you did it for a hopeful reason. You brought hope after the fact, I think was one of his explanations. I was just like, but
yeah.
No. Yeah, I think it's one of those things that's like, it's low-hanging fruit. Like, it's like, this is very clearly what you wanted, like what people want. Like, people are going to talk about this because of it, which I am very okay with. But I think there is a little bit of that, like, you kind of took the easy way, like, oh, you go through three times and it's God of War 1, God of War 2, God of War 3. It is kind of that, like, okay, this is kind of the straightforward, simple way to do this. It worked for me, though.
I mean, it's cool seeing it is really cool seeing the original trilogy stuff in God of War.
Oh, yeah.
20, then the stuff was really slick. And I was shocked how much they incorporated that. Yeah.
Yeah, the new enemies and things like that were very cool. Well, quote unquote, new enemies were very cool in this, just saying those things in there. Tyr, I thought was very interesting. So you kind of go back to Tyr, as if, I think it's four times you have to fight Tyr.
Yeah.
And after God of War 1, after God of War 2, after God of War 3, or before God of War 1, I don't remember the order. But anyway, you fight him four times. Each time he kind of pulls out a different weapon. Very cool.
I thought that was such good payoff, because I just want other Pantheon stuff so freaking bad. And they teased it in 2014 and they didn't really do anything with it. But he very clearly goes to the Mayan. He goes to the Japanese world. He goes to Greece and he goes to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool with each of those fights was he was pulling out a different weapon from each of those Pantheons. That was so fucking cool. That was legitimately my favorite part. It was like, anytime this God of War games acknowledge the other Pantheons, I'm like, this is the best shit. But anyway, sorry, keep going.
I think that's really cool. And I think just the way that they used him to kind of talk Kratos through this, again, kind of like you said, therapy, like his therapist. It's just this weird way to use him. It's just the weird way to have the ending of a roguelike boss thing is just like, okay, nope, I yield. All right. Did you learn something, bud? Cool.
Yeah.
Try again. Come back later. We'll talk. It's just, I don't know. It was very odd feeling. I really liked it, though. It just very unique in a lot of things that it did.
Yeah. I thought it was cool that Tyr was also a God of War.
Yeah.
So he kind of understood. And that's the thing where I'm kind of like waffling back and forth, is because all of these characters were all terrible people at some point in their lives. So maybe it kind of makes sense that they were all like, yeah, Kratos. I mean, yeah, we all did terrible shit too. It is kind of weird though, because in this whole second series, you're kind of coming in at like the second part of their lives where you never saw any of that stuff and they kind of discuss it. And I kind of like and don't like it. I kind of get the point, especially as like you're older, like thinking back on your lives, but it's just weird. Like you don't see anybody really going on a tear, and everybody's just kind of like, you know, after the fact talking about like, yeah, we all did some crazy shit back then.
Remember that time Thor did and you're like, he did?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I do think the God of War 1 worked really well with his deal with hate with Ares. I thought was really good. That one I thought it's like, yeah, no, you're right. He was trying to protect his people and all that stuff. But when they start getting like some of the shit that happened in God of War 2 and 3, I was like,
where it's just like, you're just doing this because you're pissed and angry and spite-filled. But you were angry, pissed, and spite-filled for a good reason. And did you really have any other choice other than to be a giant rage monster? Because if you, I mean, maybe you did, but you probably didn't, bud. You did the right thing.
How'd you feel about the God of Hope stuff?
It was odd. I don't know.
can you frame that? Can you like set that up? Like what happens of like why he gets that moniker?
No. Okay. not well.
He does it because I think of something that happens in the end of God of War 3.
That, yep.
Where the last thing in Pandora's box was hope. But also God of War 3 ends with him like completely basically causing apocalypse, yes, of Greece. And then it kind of just like, and now you're the God of Hope. I was like, I don't know, man.
There was yeah, that was kind of where I was like, what are we trying to establish here? Like, are we trying to move Kratos past this so that like his son can then take over like some of this role later on? And this is kind of just the closing moments of his like self-reflection. Like the ending got a little weird. I will say that monologue at the end.
Yeah.
Incredible. Where you're sitting there staring at young Kratos, just flawless, fantastic. I loved it. Great. Yeah. Good stuff. Probably my favorite part. And I think that's kind of what sealed it, where I was like, okay, no, this is very cool. Cause it's gotta be probably 4 or 5 minutes of just him just kind of like verbalizing all these internal thoughts of what did I do? Do I deserve this? Should I be worshipped? Should I not be worshipped? Can I change? Can I not? Mm-hmm. It was very, very well done. I think kind of put a good cap on this new Kratos that we've seen over the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, it definitely felt like a conclusion to him. And I'm hoping every time there's a video game conclusion to any character, it's never quite the end. But it's like, this would be a nice kind of cap on it. And maybe he's just like a side character next game. But I don't think they'll let that happen.
Won't happen. I don't think there's enough pull behind his son taking over. I don't think enough people are like, oh yeah, no, he's good. Let's let that happen. I don't think there's enough to sell millions of copies of video games based on him. So there you go. But we are Workforce Gaming. We try and put up new videos every Monday. Please subscribe to our channel. Leave a comment below. We'll see you later.
Bye.